I want us to read in the book of Psalms, if you'll turn with me, please, to Psalm 66. Psalm chapter 66, if you'll turn with me, please, in your Bibles. We'll not try to tackle this whole psalm here this morning, but I want to pick up in the 13th verse and go through the end of the psalm and share with you what the Lord has laid on our hearts. Again, remember, next Sunday, Mother's Day services, it will be Sunday school and morning worship, 10 and 11, and we'll not have evening service, and be much in prayer about that. Bring someone with you, your children, your grandchildren. Mama, use your leverage, that son or daughter, that granddaughter, that son-in-law that says that he's just too busy with all the other things in life to come to church. You use your leverage next week. Be like that woman that I used to have insured with me. She's already gone home to heaven now. I don't know that I'd take everything she said on face value, but I have watched her do this, and I know that it's true. She said, I hates, this is exactly the way she said it, I hates to nag on my son, but I does it because it works. And so maybe if you got that son or grandson or daughter or whatever else that does not come to church and maybe just don't want to come to church or whatever, maybe this is the week that you pull the mother card and say, this is what I want you to do for me for Mother's Day, and maybe it will work. And if the Lord saves their soul, Mother's Day won't be the last time they'll be in the house of the Lord. So you bring them with you to the house of God, and then you'll have the afternoon to be able to do the things that you'd like to do together, maybe follow up on what was delivered in the message in the meeting on Sunday, and ask them again if the Lord's dealt with their heart about those things, and what did you learn this morning, and how did God speak to your heart, and what did God's word mean to you, and, you know, ask some questions and see if you can get them talking about their soul and their need of the Lord. And every soul needs the Lord. Our soul is in desperate need of the Lord. Everybody's is. Brother Freddie Waldrop used to say, everybody don't have Jesus, but everybody sure does need him. And if we've ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. This is a generation that knows little about God, and they need the Lord. The reason why we have such lack of purpose, such need of direction in our lives, is because we need the Lord. And every answer that the world is searching for and they're looking for in all the wrong places, their answers can be found in God's precious word and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. We will read a little bit about that in our psalm this morning. If you found Psalm 66, and if you are able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the word of the Lord. Psalm chapter 66, and beginning in verse number 13, the word of the Lord says, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth have spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. That word Selah is a musical term. It means to be silent. It means to pause. It means to consider, be thoughtful about what has just been said. Verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended unto the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Our text especially comes from verse 16, where the psalmist says, come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. The Lord will be my helper this morning. The subject for our message is, I declare my soul's story. I declare my soul's story. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. Now this is the 12th sermon, the 12th installation. Really, it started as one sermon and has become 12 sermons. And so this has become the 12th installation of these sermons on these declarations that are made in the scriptures. We introduced this series of sermons looking at the beloved Apostle John beginning his epistle, declaring unto us. He says in verse 5, then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. The old timers, when something would be surprising, exciting, or remarkable, would pause and say, well, I declare. And this was for most just a matter of speech, but for the apostle, it was serious stuff. He made declaration, and he said that he was able to declare a message. For John, and everything that he declared was about his personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of these sermons of declaration have been for us a reminder that we have a personal, if you're saved, you have a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're lost, you need a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked in John chapter 4 at that woman at the well who could say, I declare a meeting, come see a man which told me everything I've ever done. Surely this man is the Christ. The blind man that's declared a miracle. They said, who opened your eyes? He said it was Jesus. They said, don't you know he's a sinner? He said, I don't know about all that. I do know this much. Whereas I once was blind, now I see. He didn't argue theology. He didn't argue philosophy. What he did say, I know what Jesus has done for me. He declared a miracle. In Jacob's fight with God, who wrestled with Jacob, we declared a match. He faced God, wrestled with him, and lived to tell about it. We saw that next week, blind Bartimaeus, how he declared mercy. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The next week, we looked at the apostle Paul on Mars Hill beside the altar to the unknown God, saying, I declare the Messiah. You say he's an unknown God, but I know him. Him declare I unto you. His name is Jesus. And we looked at the week where Joshua was outside of Jericho and saw the captain of the Lord's host and the message, I declare a mighty man. On Easter Sunday, we looked at the bread of life, and I declare manna, how Jesus feeds our hungry soul, how he's the bread of life. He's the living bread, and if we live in him, we'll die no more. The next week, we looked at Psalm 19. I declare his mighty words, how the heavens declare his words, and that, my friend, how that the revelation declare his words, and how that our personal consecration and dedication and moderation declare the mighty works of the Lord. We look back next week at Daniel chapter 4. Don't know if I've ever heard a preacher preach a whole message on that. I know that I have not until this past couple of weeks. And I declare the mystery of the dream, that of the tree that was cut down, and how that he then was, how that Nebuchadnezzar was like the tree cut down, and how the Lord humbled him and brought him to the place where he could grow again with godly growth and to come to know the Lord of heaven, how that he rules in the heavens and in the affairs of men. Last week we looked at Hebrews 11, one of the great chapters of the word of the Lord, the hall of faith. And the message was, I declare the mission. I mean to make heaven my home. I mean, these all died in faith. And those who say such things, the Bible said, declare plainly that they seek a country. And I am looking for a country, looking for a city where heaven will be my home. I mean to go there. And this week we're looking in Psalm chapter 66. I declare my soul's story. Come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I'm grateful that he's done some things for my soul. He had already declared earlier in the psalm that there was power displayed to the world in Egypt. In verses 5 through 7, especially verse 6, he turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. There was power displayed to the world in Egypt. There was power demonstrated in sustaining his people. In verses 8 through 10, especially verse 9, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. He declared the power declared through chastisement of the nations in verses 11 and 12. Especially verse 12. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. It deals with the chastisement of Israel, the nation. and how God brought them through those things, and how he showed himself as mighty and powerful through them. But the tenor of the psalm changes, the tone of the psalm changes, and things get really personal beginning in verse number 13, going through verse 20. The words like they, them, we, our, us, and later on in verses 13 through 20 becomes me, myself, and I. In these next verses, I rejoice in what the Lord has done for others. I thank God what he's done in the world. I thank God what he's done in his people. I thank God what he does in a nation. But I'm going to tell you something. I can declare my story of what the Lord has done in me. And if you'll draw near this morning, if you'll draw near and hear, all you that fear God, I will declare what he has done for my soul. Hallelujah. I have a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can declare what he has done for my soul. I wonder this morning, if I were to ask you about Jesus, would you have to tell me what he's done for others? If I were to ask you about Jesus, would you have to read to me a verse of Scripture? And I'm all for reading a verse of Scripture. If I were to ask you about Jesus, would you have to tell me about the Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostals and the Presbyterians? My friend, if I were to ask you about Jesus, could you tell me what he has done for your soul? I mean, that's the place I begin. You want to know about Jesus? I begin with what he has done for my soul. Everything else is in addition to that. I have much more I can say about him than just that. But I have nothing more important to say unto you than what he has done for my soul. I declare my soul's story. This is my story. This is my song. Praising the Savior all the day long. I have blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. I declare what he's done for my soul. And now there are really just four things that I want to share with you in this little message this morning. And then maybe just a few things about each of those four things. And we'll be done in time to keep John Daniel from dying before he gets something to eat today. I don't know what to think. He hadn't sneezed yet. Usually when I start to read my verses of Scripture, he's allergic to Bible reading and he starts to sneeze. He hadn't sneezed yet. When he starts sneezing, it'll probably be quitting time and we'll have to get something to eat. That might be what he's waiting on this morning. But we'll try to get you out in time to make sure he doesn't starve, slam to death. And so you pray for me. Four little things I want you to notice in this chapter. And I declare my soul's story. First of all, I want you to notice this morning my soul's problem. In verse number 14, the Bible says, which my lips have uttered and my mouth have spoken when I was in trouble. Boy, I'm telling you, I know about a day when my soul was in trouble. When I was in trouble, he commits to pay the vows he promised in verse 13. And we learn in this verse that he made these vows in the time of his soul's trouble. I get the image of a man who sees the trouble of his soul. He turns his heart to God. He makes some promises. Maybe it sounded something like this. Lord, if you'll hear my prayer, forgive my sin. I'll do what you say. I'll live like you want. I'll keep your word. Just have mercy on my soul. Does anybody know what it's like to pray a prayer or something like that? Do you remember when your soul had trouble? Do you remember when you were in trouble with God? Do you remember when you realized you were not right with God? You had a problem with the Lord. And not only that, the Lord had a problem with you. Your sin was a problem you had to deal with. That it hung over you, my friend, like the sword of Damocles. Hey, you realized you were in trouble with the Lord? I realized I had a problem. My problem, my friend. My problem demanded a sacrifice. According to verse number 15, he said, I will offer to the Lord burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of ram. I will offer with bullocks and with goats, Selah. He said, I'm stopping and considering and pausing and thinking about this thing. My soul's problem did not require therapy. It did not require psychological solutions. It did not require self-help tips. But my soul's problem demanded a sacrifice. Hebrews 9:22 said, in almost all things by the law are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. The enmity of my soul with the Almighty could be resolved in no other way except the price of my sin to be paid. But Jesus bare his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, according to 1 Peter 2:24. My problem demanded a sacrifice. Your problem this morning does not demand more medication. Your problem does not demand a new leaf. Your problem does not demand better behavior or church membership or water baptism. Your problem in your soul demands a sacrifice. And Jesus gave himself a ransom for our souls. He died on the cross for our sin, because there was no other way to pay for my sin and yours and satisfy the wrath of God except through his darling son. Oh, I remember many years ago, as just a young preacher boy, I heard a liberal theologian from up north say that if Jesus had played his cards right when he was on earth, he would not have had to die on Calvary. That is very problematic. And it is also, my friend, it is also heretical. It is totally unorthodox. It is outside the truth of the scriptures. First of all, Jesus didn't come gambling. He didn't come running odds or risks or playing cards. He was born to die. Secondly, my friend, there is no way for our sin to be paid for except for there to be a perfect lamb, a perfect sacrifice, a one that will pay for all of our sin. And we could not pay. We owed a debt that was beyond us. We owed more than what we could ever pay. Oh, but I'm glad Jesus paid it all. And so when he dies on the cross of Calvary and he bows his head, he said, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I'm finished." He didn't say, "You're finished, friend." He said, "It is finished." That is, tetelestai is the word. That is the same thing that would be stamped on a person's paperwork after they finish paying off a loan. I hate paying for stuff. I don't mind owning things. I just object to paying for them. I hate having to make payments. I hate that. I hate having to pay things and pay on them and pay on them and pay on them, especially after they're slam worn out, and you're still paying the bill as if they were brand new. And brother, that'll wear on you, and it'll get old. You think it's never going to get paid for. Got a friend of mine, he thought, well, you know, he first got to be a grown man, he thought, you know, the thing to do, said, they just had come out with these VHS tapes. And he said, "Man, I wanted one so bad. I wanted a VHS player so bad." He said, "I thought, you know, I could watch my westerns and I could watch all the things I wanted to when I wanted to on demand. It's the first time in human history that had ever been able to be done." And he said, "I just had to have one." And he said, "On television, they advertised this place where you could rent to own one of these things. Go down there and put it on time payments, you know." And he went and bought him a VCR on rent to own payments. And I don't remember, he said $19 a week, something like that. Weekly payments. He said, "I thought I'd get to be on Social Security retirement benefits before I ever got that thing paid off." I mean, every week, $19, $19, $19. He said, "I thought I would never pay off that stupid VCR." He said, "But I'll never forget how good it felt when that worn out VCR finally, the paperwork came in on it in the mail. And it had stamped red stamp on it right in the middle of the page, finally. And it said, paid in full." You realize that's what the tetelestai would be, that it is finished. When a man paid a debt off, it would be stamped on that thing, tetelestai. It is finished. It's paid in full. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, it said unto you and to me, "Our sin has been paid for." It's paid in full. My soul's problem demanded a sacrifice, but Jesus became my sacrifice. My soul's problem, my problem demanded a sacrifice. My problem involved my soul. I like what verse 16 says. Come and hear, all you that fear God. I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Oh, my friend, that's what he's helped. That's what he's resolved. That's where the problem is. It's in my soul. In verse 16, man thinks his problem is in his mind. He feels his problem is in his emotions. He's told his problem is in society. He's tempted to believe that his problem is Satan. But the truth is, my problem is one of the soul. Some of you today may think, well, if I just get my head straight, I'll be all right. And yet that's not really where the Lord is working on us. He's working in the heart. Hey, if I just get my family straight, I'll be all right. If I get my job situation ironed out, everything will be all right. If I have a little more money in the bank, everything will be all right. Economics were better, it'd be all right. When really the problem we have is of the soul. It's the inside that's a problem. I'm reminded of the story in the message Brother Roloff used to tell about Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. There's a fellow who's sick. He goes to Dr. Law. Dr. Law sees him, says, what can I do for you? He said, I got a problem with my hands. He said, my hands been touching all the things they should not touch. He said, well, is anything else bothering you? He said, yeah. He said, I got trouble with my eyes. He said, they keep looking at stuff they should not be looking at. He said, is anything else troubling you? He said, well, it's my feet. He said, they keep going places that I ought not to go. And I got foot troubles. What's wrong with me? And the doctor says, oh no. He said, you don't have a problem with your feet and your hands and your eyes. Said, your real problem is in your heart. And he said, the problem with this is, I don't do heart doctrine. I am just here to diagnose and refer you to a specialist that can take care of your heart. Fellow says, doc, it is not my heart. It's my hands, it's my eyes, it's my feet. But he refers him down the hall. He said, I have a colleague down the hall. Dr. Law says, I can't fix your problem. All I can do is tell you what's wrong with you. And what's wrong with you is your heart. But down the hall is a colleague of mine named Dr. Grace. He specializes in heart problems. Goes down there and sees Dr. Grace, tells him same thing, as my hand, as my eyes, as my feet. Dr. Grace says, Dr. Law told you right. Your real problem is in your heart. Some of you this morning, you think your problem is all the other things. But the soul is the real problem of man. Your real problem is on the inside. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. The word soul is mentioned 459 times in 432 verses of the King James Bible, and it's because that's where God knows the problem of man is found. Yeah. And this morning I'm thankful that I can say my soul is saved. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is well with my soul. I say praise the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm glad he saved my soul. When you say that I have been saved, it means something. It means you once were in danger. You had problems with your soul. You once were in danger. You once were in distress. You have been delivered, and now you are different. I say, I declare my soul's story. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Lord has dealt with my soul's problem. Amen. My soul's problem. Then secondly, I see in this portion of Scripture, my soul's plea. In verse number 17, he says, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. From the depths of my heart I called on the Lord. Psalm 138:3 says it this way, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with the strength in my soul. The plea of my soul was when from my own heart I reached out to the heart of God. Do you have a moment in your life when you can go back to, when from your heart you cried out to the Lord, have mercy on my soul? Oh, my friend, I thank God for my soul's plea. My friend, the soul's plea. You see, contrition is a matter of the heart. To be contrite, to be sorry for your sin, it's a matter of the heart. Verse 18, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord can see through a phony confession. I've had people tell me, oh, you're talking about that being saved thing. A fellow told me a few years ago, he said, I've already done that. Said, matter of fact, I've done that 7 or 8 times. And of course, what he meant was, he had walked down the Roman road with somebody. He had repeated somebody's prayer. He had gone through the motions. Maybe he had even been baptized. But you see, true contrition is not an act of the outward man, but it is a matter of the heart. Hey, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. In other words, you're not going to come to God and be saved because of something you did, but because of the shape and place where your heart is. If your heart's not in it, you're not going to be born again. If your heart's not sincere, you're not going to be saved. The only thing that can hinder the prayer of faith is hypocrisy. Duplicity, word of the day, Brother Randy. Duplicity, double-mindedness, twice-minded, two-faced. As the old boy that I used to know that didn't have all of his marbles just right would say of folks that didn't behave just right, he'd say they got both their faces on. That's the way he'd say it, just exactly like that. They've got both their faces on. And there are times we come to the Lord with both of our faces on. And we're not fooling the Lord. He sees through that duplicity. I let that double-minded man not think that he'll receive anything of the Lord. Is that not what James said? But cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. When instead of truly seeking the Lord, you're instead holding on to your sin, the Lord will not hear your prayer. Being contrite, according to the definition of Webster's 1828, is to be brokenhearted for sin, deeply afflicted with grief and sorrow for having offended God. I wonder, have you ever been brokenhearted for your sin? Have you ever had godly sorrow for who you are and for what you've done? 2 Corinthians 7:10 said, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Psalm 51:17, the Bible says, and the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. When you come to God with a broken spirit, with a contrite heart, with a heart of contrition and regret for sin, and trusting in Jesus, he'll save you quicker than quick. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as me of a contrite spirit. Contrition is a matter of the heart, the soul's plea. Confession then, when contrition begins in the heart, confession is made with the mouth. Verse number 17, the Bible says, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. This is important. The scripture promised us in Romans 10 and 13. Everybody listen, if I've said anything that's important, if I'm going to say anything that's important, I'm saying it right now this morning. Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise of God. There are some perverting the scripture saying that it is through baptism or some other work that you call upon the Lord. But that is not scriptural and it's not so. Romans 10, 9, previous verses, context for verse number 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. My soul's plea was from a broken heart, and I called unto the Lord to have mercy upon my soul, and that my friend God did just what I asked him to do, and he saved my lost, a condemned, unworthy soul that blessed night. Amen. Jesus saved my sin-sick soul one glorious morning. He saved my soul and he made me whole. That song says, well, you ought to have been there when the love of the Lord came down into my soul and it made me whole. Well, if you'd have been there that blessed morning, praise God, you'd have shouted glory when the Savior came down and he saved my soul. Oh, I called upon the Lord. He had mercy on my soul. If a person is mute, if he can't even say a word, the Lord hears the groanings of the heart. Confess him as your Savior, risen from the dead, ever living to make intercession for you, the transgressor. It's simple this morning. You supply the sinner, and Christ will provide the Savior. It is not through works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. Oh, my soul's plea, it's contrition, the matter of the heart. It is confession, the matter of the mouth. I have believed on him in my heart and confessed him with my mouth that he's the Lord Jesus. And therefore the Bible says, I am saved. And I believe what this book says. I have folks I've heard preachers say, and I'm just foolish enough to believe what the Bible says. Hey, you ought to quit preaching that way. You ought to quit saying things like that. I believe what the Bible says is not foolish. I'm not foolish enough to believe what the Bible said. I was foolish before I believed what the Bible said. And now that I believe what the Bible says, I'm wise. I may not be wise as what it ought to be, but I'm wise enough to believe what this book says. My friend, the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. His statutes are ones that make wise the simple. They open the eyes of the blind. I'm not foolish enough to believe what this Bible said. I have enough faith to believe what this Bible says, and I trust in the Lord. He said it's done, and the work is done. My soul is saved, and there's not enough devils in hell, my friend, to change that. I am born again. I praise God, a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am his and he's mine. And the devil can roar and he can snap at me. He can grit his ugly old teeth. He can threaten. He can call me bad names, accuse of me before God. But he cannot take Jesus out of my heart. Hallelujah. My soul's plea. Then thirdly this morning, my soul's proclamation is found in verse number 19. I like this. But verily, God hath heard me. Brother John told us what that verse or word means in Sunday school this morning. Verily, verily. It means truly, truly. This is the same word Jesus uses in the Gospels. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. That is, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. You better listen up. I'm telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. By the way, in this case, it is a person who knows the Lord who's using this verse. And if you know the Lord, you ought to talk like him. You ought to start using his language. Amen. Far too often, saved people talk too much like lost folks do. We ought not to use all the ugly language they use. We ought not to use all the terms they use. We ought not to tell all the jokes they tell. And we ought to learn what this Bible says and learn how to talk like the Lord says. Amen. Hallelujah, thank God. But verily, God hath heard me. Truly, absolutely, surely, amen. I know the Lord has heard me. This is the same word Jesus would use. It means in fact, certainly, with great confidence. I'm not confused or uncertain or hoping or thinking so, but my soul can truly, verily declare what the Lord has done for me. I'm glad I know I'm saved. Without a doubt, I'm saved. I've been born again, washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Praise God, I can say that I'm saved, saved unto the uttermost. And my soul's proclamation, truly it's so. Amen. Truly it's so. My soul's proclamation. He said, I know, if you'll listen to me, I know the truth. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Y'all pay close attention here. As Brother Samuel would say, listen at me now. Listen at me. He didn't say listen to me. He didn't say listen at me. Y'all listen at me real close. In fact, is the way he'd say it. Listen at me real close. And this is the way that you need to know it, friend. He heard my prayer. He heard me. I know this. I know what I'm talking about. I can verify. I can say truly, truly, verily, verily, the Lord heard my prayer. He says in the verse number 19, but verily, God hath heard me. The Lord has heard my prayer. Great joy is now my share. Sweet heaven fills my soul. Now I can go rejoicing on. Oh, my friend, there's not a doubt. Thank God they're driven out. For he heard my prayer, my earnest prayer. I know he heard my prayer. He knows my every care. He gives to me the blessed victory. Oh, yes, I feel him now. My loyalty to him I vow. I know the Savior heard my plea. The enemy had said that my faith in God was dead. And if the way was rough, he did not care. Praise God, that is not true. Jesus thrills me through and through. I know he heard my prayer, my earnest prayer. My soul's proclamation is, he heard my cry. I love the Lord because he heard my cry and my supplication. I know he hears me when I pray. He heard me, and I praise him for that. My soul's proclamation is he heard me. My soul's proclamation is he helped me. In the latter part of verse 19, verily God heard me. Then the latter part, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. He not only heard me, but he attended to my voice. That is, he waited on me. He served me. He helped me. He didn't leave me the way that he found me. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. He heard me and he helped me. That's my soul's proclamation. My soul's problem, my soul's plea, my soul's proclamation. But I'm finishing, beginning to finish. Caitlin, beginning to finish with this. My soul's present state. You see, I can tell you where I've been, and I can tell you what the Lord's done. And where I am right now is not in a perfect place, but it's surely a different place than where I used to be. In verse 20, blessed be God which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. You see, it's different now since Jesus saved my soul. Now, what's different? Well, now I'm praising. He said, blessed be God. Well, I don't know about you, but that ain't the way I talked all the time before I got to know the Lord. I didn't run around saying, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, hey, man, hey, hallelujah. That's not the way I talked before I got to know the Lord. Maybe some of you did, but I doubt most of you did. Some of you called Jesus his name, but it was when you hit your thumb with a hammer. It was when somebody pulled out and cut you off in traffic. It was when you got angry because the boss, my friend, dropped something on you you didn't want to have to deal with that day. That's when you called the Lord's name. It was as a byword. It was as a slang word. And oh, Lord, have mercy on us. And now things are different. Now my words are, blessed be God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the old preacher, when I was a boy, said, some of y'all crawl out of bed every morning, and every day you wake up and say, good Lord, it's morning again. And he said, you need to change your vocabulary and roll out of bed and say, good morning, Lord. Amen. I mean, learn to praise him, to say, thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. I do remember when I was a boy, my daddy hit his son with a hammer, and my friend busted it open, split the nail all the way down, blood squirting out all over the place. It was just a mess. And of course, I knew not to say anything. I thought he'll give me a whooping for what he's done, and I'm not going to say anything. I'm staying out of the way because that looked like that hurt. And he said that when he hit his son like that, he said, bless it, James, bless it, bless it, bless it, bless it. Said, you're the stupidest, low-down idiot I've ever seen. Hit your own hand with a hammer, and it ain't nobody's fault but your own. Bless it, bless it, bless it, bless it. And to praise God, if he ever had a chance to say ugly words, it was then. But he didn't. He just blessed the Lord. He even blessed what was bothering him. He even blessed what was troubling him. He even blessed that old thumb that split open. Praise God. I'm telling you, saved folks have a different perspective on things. You can praise God when the sun is not shining. You can praise him when hard times come. You can praise him when things are not always well in your life. You can praise him when you're feeling bad. You can praise him when things are not good in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I used to hear Sister Bonnie on Shell testify, and when she, especially when she got old, every time she testified, she'd tell about 1936 when she got saved, crossing over there the creek to pick maters for her mama, and she'd get troubled and said, that water looked like it was so peaceful across the creek, and I got mad and I took a stick and stirred that water. She'd do like this, I stirred that water, and I told that water, if I'm going to be troubled, you're going to be troubled too. And she said, I got saved on the other side of the creek. That's been 1936. And she said, I've had to pray a lot of prayers since then. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I have never had to ask the Lord to save my soul again. But then she'd always tell that. I'd use it then when she got a little older in life. I said, say now I'm nearing the end of the shore. I'm nearing the end of this thing. I'm just about to the end of my journey. My body's worn out. My mind's beginning to fade. But she'll say, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to get a glorified body. I don't feel well tonight. I don't feel well today. I'm not in my best right now. But I'm going to get a glorified body. You see, lost people can't act like that. They don't know what that hope is. But those that know the Lord, even when they don't feel well, when they're not at their best, when things are not the way they like them to be, they can still say things like, blessed be God. And my friend, my soul's present state, now I am praising the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of y'all need to go ahead and accept the fact that you're either lost or backslid. Because you don't never praise the Lord. And some of you have praised the Lord, but it's been a real long time since you praised the Lord, and it's a real good indicator that you're backslid. And you need to get right with the Lord. Is anybody listening to preaching this morning? I mean, some of you, it's been a long time since you was just riding along on down the road and the light turned red and you sat there with nothing else on your mind, and all of a sudden it just overwhelmed you how good God had been, and you just hung your head and said, Lord, I'm so glad I'm saved, and I love you more than anything in the whole world. And I mean, the glory just come flooding your soul. It's been a long time since you were singing Amazing Grace and just going through the motions, and all of a sudden the Lord reminded you, you once were blind and now you can see, and he just knocked over a tub of honey in your soul, and my friend, they oozed out between your ribs. I mean, friend, it's been a long time since the preaching turned from a sermon into a message to your soul, and you said, yes, Lord, he's preaching about me, and it's my soul, you say, and I'm the one going to heaven, and I'm happy about it, and Lord, I love you more today than I ever have. It's been quite a while since some of you have forgotten who was around and what everybody else was doing. Quit noticing anybody else and just threw one hand up towards heaven. It felt so good you put the other one up there with it. Amen. Praise God. Save folks. And my friend, my soul's present state, I'm now praising him. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Great things he has done for me. And my soul's present state is a now place of praising. Now I'm praising. Now I am praying. Blessed be God which hath not turned away my prayer. He not only heard my prayer, but he's not turned away my prayer. He's still listening, and I'm still praying. I'm still seeking. I'm still knocking. And my friend, I'm still asking. And he's still answering. He's still opening. He's still giving. Hallelujah. I'm still praying. He's still listening. Hallelujah. My soul's present state is praising and praying. My soul's present state, and I'm finishing and come with a song with John Michael. My soul's present state is peaceful. Peaceful. His mercy is still with me is the end of the verse. Nor his, he's not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. He's, I have a peaceful soul. The reason my soul is peaceful is not because I have no trouble. It's because his mercy is still with me. The reason I have a soul that is peaceful is not because my soul has no problems anymore. My life is, my friend, emptied of any sort of difficulty. But it's because it's filled with the presence of the Lord. I'm going to confess something. People usually listen when I do that. I'm going to confess something. My mind's not always peaceful. But sometimes my mind's tormented. troubled, problematic, but my soul's at peace. Peace with God, peace with the man, peace with myself. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. I declare my soul's story this morning. Psalm 34, he told us, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him, saved him from all of his troubles. If you have a story to tell about your soul, and it's not the story I'm telling this morning, you need to know this Jesus I'm talking about. It's not a better place than here or a better time than now to call upon the name of the Lord. Everybody stand with us, please. I've preached what the Lord's put on my heart. Have you heard the word of the Lord this morning? Will you receive with gladness the word of the Lord? Will you have a positive response and by faith come and call upon him? This morning, if you're in the shape that I described at the end of the message and maybe at peace in your soul and tormented in your mind, tested and tried in your mind, would you come and call upon the Lord? He can give you peace in your mind, in your heart. Surely is what he can give peace in the soul. If you're unsaved, this would be the day for you to come to know the precious Lord Jesus. I declare my soul's story. Sing for us when you're ready, dear neighbor. If you need to pray, I'd ask you to come.
Just as I am without one.
Would you cast yourself at the foot of the cross and just say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. With my heart I believe, with my mouth I confess,
and
I need to be saved.
Thou be,
I'm lost. I don't know where I'm going in this world. I don't have purpose.
To thee,
I need help from the Lord. I can't help myself. My soul's got a problem. I'm looking to my Savior to resolve it. He's the only one who can.
Just as I am and waiting.
Do you need to pray? Would you pray? Would you seek the Lord while he may be found?
My soul,
would you call upon him while he is
near? Blood to thee.
There's not another like
blood can cleanse each part.
There's not a wonderful, marvelous, personal Savior like that. Jesus will hear you. He'll help you. He'll heal the brokenness of your soul.
Thou wilt treat.
No need of you trying to figure it out. He's already figured it out. All you got to do is come to him. He has the answer. You can trust him. You can count on him. Perfect and eternal work in your life. My soul. Some of you still thinking you can fix some other problem. It's my mind. It's my job. It's my finances. It's my family. It's my husband. If I get my husband straightened out, then everything will be all right. If I get my wife straightened out, if I get my kids quit acting crazy all the time. If you're waiting on your kids to stop acting crazy, you ain't never going to get straightened out. You need help from the Lord for your soul. A lot of us saved, we think a lot of times our problem is some other thing instead of acknowledging, Lord, down on the inside, though I know my soul is saved, down on the inside I need help from you. I'm struggling because down on the inside I realize I'm still living in a house of flesh. All these other things are choking out the production of your word in my life. And I need you every hour. Boy, do us well to make some confession before the Lord about how much we desperately need Him. Seek after Him while He may be found, and call upon Him while He's near. Your little things matter to God and your little things matter to you. And if you were here last Sunday night, you know what I'm talking about. If you've been obedient to the Lord, sensitive to His word this morning,